Well, let's speak now to Henry Shelford. He is the founder of ADHD UK. Henry, what's causing these shortages?
There's been a manufacturing problem, and the main manufacturer only has two factories, one supplying North America, pretty much exclusively, the other the rest of the world, and that one's had a catastrophic failure. And they've not been able to produce the medication that's needed for the world and for the UK. And we hold no stock, and so we've just gone out of stock. And it happened very, very suddenly. It happened in September. There was a national patient alert, and we were suddenly told the medication is not going to be there. And this medication is the one the majority of people take, and it's not replaceable. There aren't ones that are the same, and there are the replacements that were available that are even slightly similar had no way had enough, and others are very different. And we found in September about half of people have told us, we did a survey of over 2,000 people with ADHD, about half of them didn't get their medication. I was one of those, so I have ADHD, I take medication, and I haven't had my main medication at all until just a week ago.
What's the impact then, Henry? What happens if you don't take it?
So ADHD is a really difficult condition. I think a lot of people don't understand how hard it is, and it's most visually and brutally told through the statistics on suicide. And so we know that 1 in 10 men or boys with ADHD will at some point try and take their own life, and it's 1 in 4 women or girls with ADHD will at some point try and take their own life. And that just expresses how hard it is. And the medication is a helping hand, right? It's not a cure, but it helps you bring your mind together to focus and do the things you need to do, instead of it flitting and jumping from one thing to another, cascading in a sort of busy noise. It's the mum earlier spoke about for her son, and but it can also jump into hyper focus. So you zoom in, that sort of faulty focus. You zoom in for hours and hours and hours, and that can be fantastic if it's the right thing, awful if it's the wrong thing, and not being able to focus. Like, you know, think about work. You know, we had 87% of people said their work was impacted negatively, 42% thinking they may lose their job, and 6% of those 2,000 saying they had lost their job. You know, I talked to someone this week that they have lost their job, and actually it's more than their job, it's their career. You know, and a lack of understanding meant that they were afraid to say that they were going to need more help. So they were on this medication, they were put on a different one, and it didn't work in the same way. And they made mistakes. They made mistakes they'd made before they got the diagnosis and the medication that they now can't get. And with the other medication, those mistakes came back, and their boss was like, "You're failing again, and you're out." And this, it's just a disaster.
I mean, Henry, it sounds like an absolutely desperate situation, and I'm fully aware of how long it takes to even get a diagnosis, because my sister, and she'll allow me to speak about this freely, got diagnosed with dyspraxia and also was on the waiting list to be diagnosed with ADHD, right, to have an assessment. They said, oh, it'll be 2 years. She got called last week. They've added another 3 years to it. She's 23. She won't get diagnosed until she's 28. So having all that, it's craziness at the moment around ADHD diagnosis and all this. But just explain to me, if people can't get the medication, what are they going to do?
So honestly, look, we've got only 1% of people are satisfied with the government response, and only 4% have received any non-medication support. Honestly, we're just left out. We're left out to dry. Like, we've got, like, myself included, like, so you were supposed to get contacted by your GP and then by your specialist team, and just, you know, GPs are famous for having loads of spare time. And specialist teams, you just talked about 5-year waits, where you know, for your sister, you know, we see waits in this country up to 10 and a half years for adults, up to 5 years for children. So if you're a 13-year-old in that area, you age out. And before you see someone, and when you age out, you go to the back of the adult queue, and it is awful. And in terms of things to do for people who are, you know, who are in this, It is, if you can, you've got to talk to your boss, talk to your school, and say like, look, this is going to be really harder. And it's to try and make sure they don't make long-term decisions. They don't start to put your child on the path of exclusion. They don't start to put you on your job onto a path of being removed. You want to also, you know, some people will talk about ADHD. They say, I can do anything. It just costs me everything else, the price we pay to succeed. And recognizing that for this period, we probably have to make our world smaller. Like, cut out the things we can't do and to just focus on keeping the stuff on track whilst we can.
Henry, I really appreciate you giving us insight this morning. So if people want to find out more, it's ADHD UK, your website, yeah?
That's right, adhduk.co.uk.
Fantastic, thank you. Henry Shelford there, the founder of ADHD UK, talking about the shortage of ADHD medication at the moment. As you can hear, Henry himself, as the founder, has ADHD, and it sounds a desperate situation. He did talk about topics including loss of life there, so if you have been affected by anything you've heard, you can get support via the BBC. Just search for bbc.co.uk/actionlife.
BBC Radio Sheffield.